This is Colin Hegna from Federale. You're listening to Rocket Knight.
Welcome to the Rocket Knight podcast. This is Vlad. The term Americana in music has come to be associated with blends of American-rooted genres like country, folk, blues, and rock, among others. It's made for a rich history of recorded music and performances. However, the interpretation of the term in the media and music scholarship has also imposed rigid fences on what makes for good, inventive forms of it. Americana can and should also reflect other musical forms that might not have originated in, say, the Mississippi Delta or the Appalachians, but maybe in other regions, other places. And this is where today's guest has made things interesting in his own right and his career. Colin Hegna, stalwart bassist in the celebrated and mercurial Brian Jonestown Massacre, also leads Federale, a highly accomplished outfit that has synthesized a distinctive Americana of its own, a blend of rock, spaghetti western, and psychedelic atmospherics that recall the lyricism of Ennio Morricone, the imagination of Rocky Erickson, and the storytelling of filmmaker Werner Herzog and the legendary Nick Cave. Federale is celebrating its 20th year of existence this year with a new album, Reverb and Seduction. And joining us to talk about it today is Colin. A warm Rocket Knight welcome to you.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Thanks. Colin, you've amassed considerable oeuvre with Federale, and at the heart of it is a faithful, reverential treatment of spaghetti Western idioms infused with psychedelic overtones and other regional types of idioms. What drew you to this style originally?
Well, I'm really interested in film, and that's where this all came from. Primarily entered doing this sort of music from watching spaghetti westerns, which of course are like an Italian western that were very popular in the late 60s and the early 70s in Europe, and then later they also became sort of popular in the United States as well. But what the Italians were trying to do were they were trying to make American westerns, but of course they never quite got it right because they were putting their own spin on it the whole time.
Sure.
And I feel like that the music that came from that and also the films that came from that were like far more interesting than American westerns.
Indeed.
So I was really drawn to the music in those films, and I wanted to sort of explore that style of film music within a rock band context. That's sort of where I came to it.
Wonderful. 20 years and multiple albums later, you're still going strong. What keeps your imagination so fertile and you so motivated to stay in these idioms and explore that?
Well, I mean, I'm kind of like a musical lifer. I also, I produce and record a lot of bands, so I'm constantly working in different genres. And I work in a lot of different genres because I do like film work as well, music for film. I find it, if you just focus on one thing, it can kind of tend to get a little bit boring, and you'll find yourself in a rut, and nobody really wants that. So I bounce around stylistically quite a bit, and I like to switch it up as often as possible because, you know, life's interesting. There's no reason why you shouldn't explore all the possible options out there, you know?
Indeed. That in another era, we would have said it being eclectic. That term tends to be a little loaded these days, but that's right. Genuinely eclectic when you have that kind of diversity.
Yeah, definitely.
So your forthcoming album is Reverb and Seduction. Tell us a little bit about its conception and production.
Well, it started, you know, like we released our last record that we released, was in 2019. It's called No Justice, which is weird that I called it that because it was right before the whole, social justice movement thing happened and before
Right.
COVID. So I don't know how that all lined up. But at any rate, we weren't able to really tour with that record very much because, like everything shut down.
Sure.
And so, like, a lot of bands and, a lot of musicians and creative folks in general, like, I started working like mad during, all the lockdowns and stuff. I was doing all kinds of different things. I scored a couple movies and I kept pushing the ball forward with the Federale project, although it was primarily me. So really what you have with this record is half of it was done during the COVID time, where there's a lot of isolation and a lot of, people working in different spaces and, files being shared. Stuff like that. And, it was actually made for really interesting creative collaborations that I don't think would have happened any other way. I prefer recording with a band, a group of folks in a room, because I feel like you get a lot more interplay between musicians and just
Right.
feels more organic. So, basically, if you listen to the record, it's in reverse chronological order as far as like how it was created. So, like the very first songs on the record are like the newest stuff. And that was all done primarily live.
Right.
And then as you go further towards the end of the record, it gets more into like the older stuff. And that's when it's a little bit more, disjointed and production heavy because just out of sheer necessity. So it's an interesting progression in that sense. And I was a little bit worried that everything wouldn't fit together. But when I started sticking the songs together, it really kind of flowed. And so I said, well, screw it, let's go with it. I think it's an interesting progression.
Sounds like almost like a Fellini film, like 8.5, where you have these disjointed vignettes and they wonder how is it going to turn out, and it ends up being very coherent in the end.
Yeah, somehow, randomly, perhaps.
Yep. So, let's see. For listeners who maybe are new to the band and they were to listen to Reverb and Seduction, what are they in for? What are they in for if they partake in its delights?
Yeah, well, I think it's quite a bit different than our previous records. And in that, I think there's a lot more heavy aspects. I tried to push things in all directions a little bit further. There's some stuff that's like kind of leans into like a goth territory, goth rock territory. There's some stuff that's there's a some stuff that's even a bit more, you could say, country than any of the other stuff that I've ever done. There's some stuff that has a lot more orchestral aspects than some of the things I've ever done as well. So I was kind of trying to push things in several different directions at the same time and just see if they still stuck together. And they did. I thought the experiment was to like see, well, what if we had like a goth rock song, but with westerny vocals on it and with like strings that you might hear in like an Ennio Morricone score.
Right.
And that sort of stuff really works together, funny enough. So it was sort of an experiment in that sense. And I'd say it's pretty dark, it's pretty heavy, but there is a lot of lightness to it as well. And there's some songs about topics that I almost never write about, things like love and, friendship, stuff like that, along with my usual topics such as, like murder and intrigue. It's quite varied. And I think it's, I don't know. I think it's probably our heaviest record in a way, and probably the most rock oriented compared to some of the other stuff that we've done in the past.
Yeah, I hear that. I'm a big fan of earlier Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds, and I heard there's a lot that I like in this album that I relate to from his earlier work, where he was really unbridled like that.
Yeah, I love that stuff. I love that stuff. I've been trying to work in as much of him wherever I can for decades.
Yep. So, in many of your songs, you mentioned being filmic or having that kind of influence. In many of your songs, I find that the people, the environments, and even like the gods in one of the songs are characters in their own right. It's almost like a Greek chorus, or it's like a multi-dimensional film. This is a very like dimensional classical approach to storytelling, and I see that in the lead track on your new album, Advice from a Stranger. Let's give that a listen. So that narrative is really interesting, and it gives me almost the impression of like a Dylan Thomas poem. It has that kind of do not go into that good night and so on. When writing and constructing these stories, are these things that you and the band or your collaborators overtly think about, or do they just emanate from somewhere mysterious within?
Again, I think I try not to write from personal experience, and I try to write from a place of thinking of things filmically, as you were saying. So I think of like a film, whether it be one that exists or one that doesn't really exist, is just something that I think would be a cool film. And then I think about the characters in that film and just the moods also, like what would the mood be like in such a piece, you know? And so I try to create external things that I can draw upon for inspiration, so that I'm not like sitting there and like telling you about my feelings, because there's plenty of people that bang away on guitars and tell you about their feelings, and I think it's kind of boring, honestly. So I want to tell a story. I want to tell a narrative-driven tale, and I want it to feel a certain way, and I want the lyrics and the tone of the music to work together to convey a mood. And that's kind of what I'm really shooting for. Sometimes I'll write things and I don't even know what they mean until later I'll realize, oh, that's what that means, or that's how that's connected. Sometimes I just write sheerly but to create a mood, without even having any sort of like, intellectual story arc or anything like that. But I do think about character a lot, and I think about how something might fit into a film. So, which is funny because a lot of my stuff does wind up in films, so it kind of reverse works in that direction.
Indeed.
But I don't know. I think about films a lot. I think that's kind of my main inspiration.
Who are some of your favorite directors?
Geez. Well, I mean, like I'm really into like Sergio Leone, of course, Kubrick, of course. And then, I'm a big fan of the Robert Eggers stuff that's been coming out lately. There's a lot of really great directors and a lot of really great films being made these days. I'm trying to think now that I'm being put on the spot.
No, just off the top of your head. I'm just it sounds like you're obviously you're filmically inspired, and that can inspire you in different ways. Many people I've interviewed in the course of this podcast have proven to that they were also inspired by either film or poetry or even television, interestingly, and they just bring that mindset, that story, that diegesis into their songwriting.
I like really strange stuff, like David Lynch, obviously, and his music, fantastic. Angelo Badalamenti, that music is fantastic, and
Indeed.
John Carpenter stuff, of course, is really great. I like a lot of genre films, so I'm really into horror, and the Western thing, of course, but also I like the giallos from the early 70s in Italy as well. Those are sort of like horror thrillers, sort of like inspired by Hitchcock sort of stuff, but very 70s and very Italian. So I'm a big fan of that stuff. So Dario Argento is a big fan of, or a favorite of mine.
I find that Leone and the Giallos, they tend to bring a lot of, and I say, use this word loosely, operatic sensibility in that it's not like classical opera, but the kind of dynamics and character of spikes and that kind of thing just is infused as part of like an identity.
Totally, yeah, and that's a very, very Italian thing, which is why I love Italian movies. They're very dramatic in a classical sort of way, and I like that. I like that drama, and you can do that with music quite a bit, So yeah, I'm drawn to that.
You certainly do. You certainly do. So your new album is slated for release soon. When does it hit the streets and how can people get it?
July 12th is the release date. We're playing a show here in Portland where I live, Miss Studios. So we will be doing a tour of the West Coast and kind of the mountain states and stuff. So you can come and find it there in person at our merch table, or it's also available from our record label website, which is Jealous Butcher Records.
Okay, great. We'll drop a link for that in the description. And after the album release, what is the rest of 2024? And after, let's say, the tour, what is it whole? What's the future, the next step of the future holder for you and the band?
Well, I have never really tried to make this a heavily touring band. In fact, we haven't toured a whole lot. I primarily view it as like a in the past as like a studio project, but I really want to put more towards touring. So we've got a couple tours coming up, and we're actually doing our very first European tour in November. So that's a big exciting thing for us because we've never been to Europe. With Federale. And I have some more singles in the shoot after this record. And I've started recording another record as well. So it's the pedal is to the metal. We're just gonna
Indeed.
see where it takes us.
Wonderful, wonderful. I'd be remiss if I didn't ask at least a little bit about what might be next for Brian Jonestown Massacre. Anything on the horizon?
I'm not really sure. I'm not the decision maker for that band.
Sure.
And in fact, I wasn't actually on the last tour that just happened.
The Australian,
The Australian tour, the infamous Australian tour. I did tour. I have been in that band off and on for about 20 years. So, it's a long-term thing that I is a part of my life, and I love those guys, and I know that there's going to be more music and more touring, it's very likely that I'll be involved, but it's possible that I won't. But I can tell you that, as long as Anton is alive, he's going to be making music and he's going to be going out and playing it.
Sure.
So you can count on that happening. It's going to happen.
Very cool. And people who might have been following you just in terms of your own career might also be familiar with some of the commercial work that you've done, like the commercial that was America's Halftime and so on. Very signature, and that's been, gotten really big on YouTube. Do you see more of that? And that, is that principally your guys, what, your day job, I guess, that kind of production?
Well, yeah, it kind of is. It's one of the things I do. I'm actually working on a commercial right now for a hunting app. As we speak, I paused to work on that. I paused working on that to have this conversation. I work on all sorts of stuff, different stuff. I've done stuff for Nike and Adidas and Chrysler, lots of cars and shoes. But I've also done a lot of stuff for smaller businesses and things as well. So yeah, I mean that's just kind of like one of the things I do to keep the ball rolling. Like I said, I record other bands and produce other bands. So it's kind of like if you piece all these things together, it turns into one career. I wish I just did one thing all the time, sort of, but also at the same time, it's nice that I get to like wear different hats on any given day and try different things out. I think doing the commercial thing is maybe not the coolest thing in the world, but it's a really interesting challenge, and I find really, fascinating. And when you get it right, it feels really good.
Indeed, indeed. And you have certainly a large audience that may not know you, but they certainly know the product and they know the message.
That's true. That's true. Yes.
Right. So, Colin, how can people follow the activities of Federale and also maybe of yourself?
Yeah, well, we're on Instagram and we're on Facebook and all those places. I'd say Instagram is where we're the most active, so it's Federale PDX on Instagram. But yeah, we're in all the places. We're easy to find. We're on Bandcamp. All of our merch is on Bandcamp, so if you're looking for records or t-shirts or anything fun like that, that's all there. We are findable.
Wonderful. Well, Colin, thanks so much for joining us today. I'm looking forward to an opportunity to maybe catch you folks live. That's quite an experience from what I've seen on YouTube, and wish you all the very best. Thank you again.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks.
To see that there's no strangers in this town, but that don't mean there's no bad folks around. To see that there's no strangers, but I got plans to change this. I got
You're listening to Rock at Night.
The introductory song, Get On Down, is from blues artist Billy Bass Alford. Look for his music at ReverbNation.com.